The job market remains strong. So strong, in fact, that employers are getting sneaky about hiring. Hi, I'm Rob West. With inflation and the slowdown in the economy, it's a wonder that millions of open jobs are going unfilled. But that's the case. What does that mean for workers? Maybe a lot. I'll talk about it today, and then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, right now, there are 1.7 jobs available for every person looking for work. Well, that's great if you need a job, but it's putting an awful strain on employers who need skilled workers. I said that employers are getting sneaky about this. That means companies are resorting to something called quiet hiring. Now, what does that mean? Well, it could be hiring contractors for the short term until a certain project or workload is completed, but it can also mean encouraging or prodding employees to take on a host of new duties within the company. There are several reasons for this. One, I've already mentioned that workers are hard to find. Another is the expense of advertising, recruiting, and training new workers. And with the prospect of a recession, employers don't want to hire people just to lay them off if business takes a downturn. Added to those reasons is that companies still have goals they want to reach in 2023, and they're having a lot of trouble doing it. The answer, it seems, is quiet hiring. Usually when a company hires someone, it's to fill an existing job opening or because there's a new job that needs to be filled in order for the company to grow, or a third category, filling a vital but temporary need. It's the last category that quiet hiring addresses, and it's a growing trend because often it doesn't require any new hiring, which again is expensive for companies. Instead, employers are identifying critical functions that need addressing immediately and then shifting employees from other roles to meet those needs. Now, what does that look like in practice? One amazing example involves an airline that recently converted some of its executives into baggage handlers because of a critical need. There was an added bonus beyond just getting bags on and off planes. It also gave front office folks a chance to see how decisions and policies made higher up affect employees in the front lines. But quiet hiring can also have a detrimental effect on employee morale. They may see it as a sign that their old job isn't really important since no one is being hired to replace them. They might then question whether they'll still have a job when the critical need passes. And to be sure, not everyone is a fan of quiet hiring, and it can result in what's becoming known as quiet quitting, which is refusing to take on any new work outside the duties one was hired to do. While supporters of quiet hiring say it offers workers a chance for promotions and raises, opponents say it's another way for companies to take advantage of their employees, claiming that the rewards for taking on new work are few and far between. Whether quiet hiring is good or bad for workers remains to be seen, but predictions are that it will continue for the foreseeable future. The question is, how can workers take advantage of it? Well, here the Bible has some advice. Colossians 3:23 and 24 reads, "Whatever you do, work heartily, as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ." I think that means cheerfully taking on a new role that may help your employer if you're able to do the work. Take the boss at his or her word that it could lead to a better situation down the road and a chance to improve your skill set. It's also an opportunity to ask about your future with the company and a chance to lay out your goals for how you'd like to advance. You can also inquire whether the new role allows for other perks, such as more flexible hours or a chance to work from home. In other words, try to have an optimistic approach if you're asked to temporarily take on new duties to help your employer, but also be honest if you don't feel you're equipped. And even there, maybe you can ask for some additional training to help you. If you cooperate with your company's quiet hiring practice and find yourself stuck after a year or more with no promotion or raise in sight, you can always fall back on the new skills you've acquired to look for another job somewhere else. As the saying goes, there's no such thing as job security, but there is employment security, and the way to get it is by not turning down the opportunity to learn new things. All right, your calls are next, 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. We'll be right back.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Thanksgiving dinner. You can almost taste it, can't you? Turkey, stuffing, cranberry sauce, pumpkin pie, and that's just scratching the surface, no doubt about it. At Thanksgiving, we eat, and sometimes it feels like we won't need to eat again for a week. We look forward to feasting, don't we? It's always been that way. In the Bible, feasting was another word for blessing, like famine was another word for curse. And that's why Isaiah 25 is so rich. On this mountain, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all peoples, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats and the finest of wines. That's what Jesus earned for us. Will you be feasting with him one day? You'll see Jesus more clearly through time in God's Word. Visit getanchor.com.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
Hey, moms and dads, are you at your wit's end? Hi, this is Mark Gregston with Parenting Today's Teens. I'm so grateful for the partnership we have with American Family Radio. We share a common goal to bring hope to hurting families through the life-changing medium of radio. Be sure to listen Saturday afternoons at 4:30 Central on American Family Radio. Find help and hope for your family with Parenting Today's Teens.
We are grateful for support from One Ascent Investments on the Faith and Finance program. They manage a comprehensive suite of value-based investment strategies designed to help Christian investors live aligned with what they value most. One Ascent believes that if your values inspire the way you live, they should also inspire the way you invest. This can be a unique form of worship. More information is available at investments.oneascent.com. That web address is investments.oneascent.com.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Thanks for joining us on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. All right, it's time for your calls and questions. We've got some lines open. Our team is standing by. We'd love to hear from you. What are you thinking about today, financially speaking? Let's talk about it. 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. We began today by talking about a new trend in the labor market called quiet hiring. Certainly the labor market, one of the key indicators that we're watching as we really analyze where this economy is going from here. The Federal Reserve yesterday, of course, slowed its pace of interest rate raises with a quarter point hike. That's the lowest increase since March. The move brings the benchmark federal funds rate to a range of 4.5 to 4.75, the highest since 2007. Of course, that rate affects borrowing costs for both businesses and consumers, and it's the Fed's biggest weapon to slow this economy as an attempt to really deal with runaway sky-high inflation. This is the Federal Open Market Committee's eighth consecutive raise, and
comes as inflation continues to decline from its June high of a staggering 9.1% to the December reading we got at 6.5%. Further quarter point hikes are expected in March and May. We'll certainly be watching that as the Fed really is the driver of where we're headed economically, at least in the near term. Unemployment, speaking of the labor market, which tends to rise as the Fed raises rates, remains at a historic low of 3.5%, while job openings increased by 600,000 to 11 million in December. Of course, the Fed has a dual mandate to keep inflation in check and unemployment down, and they're going to try to do both and engineer a soft landing here, with a lot of economists thinking that we're in for a mild recession this year. Interestingly, the International Monetary Fund just this week upgraded its outlook on the global economic growth from an annual rate of 2.9%. That's up from 2.7% in October. So we'll just continue to keep all eyes on this economy as we watch the market selling off today on the broad market. Tech stocks are leading the rally after we saw some pretty powerful earnings from Meta, the Facebook parent company, overnight. So lots of things to continue to watch. Of course, Jerry Boyer will stop by tomorrow as he reflects on the week's data and gives us some of his insights on where we go from here. All right, let's take your questions today. We do have some lines open at 800-525-7000. We'll also be tackling a few of your emails as well, 800-525-7000, to get in on the conversation with whatever you're thinking about today in your financial life. Is it your spending plan? Maybe you're wrestling with, how do I balance that budget? I'm just really struggling with that, especially in light of that inflation we just talked about, 9.1% down to 6.5%. But, you know, that's just the CPI. I mean, when we look at obviously certain sectors of our own economy and what we're having to spend money on day to day, we're seeing real price increases that are affecting the family budget. How do you deal with that? Well, we'd love to chat about that if that's something you're struggling with. Maybe it's your investing plan. Maybe you're trying to get out of debt, or maybe it's that credit score, protecting yourself online, whatever it might be. Again, 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Get in line, and we'll begin taking some questions here in just a moment. We'll also take a few of your emails along the way as well. By the way, if you have a question you'd like read on the air, you can always send it to us at askrob@faithfi.com. That's askrob@faithfi.com. All right, this one comes from Kate. She says, we own a house. That's our only debt so far. I have retirement savings through my job with the county. My husband serves in a Christian ministry that offers no retirement savings at all. So we opened a Roth IRA. What percentage of his monthly income should go toward his Roth account? And Kate, it's a great question. You know, normally we would say, let's try to target 10 to 15% of your income into a tax-advantaged retirement plan if you don't have one, as it is, as is with your husband. A Roth is a great tool to save alongside a company-sponsored plan or in lieu of. The challenge is, depending on your age, you'll either be able to put in $6,500 this year, or if you're over 50 or older, $7,500 this year, which a lot of times is not going to be enough if you're trying to target 10 to 15% of your income. So what you may want to do is try to boost what you're putting into your plan. If you have, let's say, a 401k, you can put in quite a bit more. The contribution limit for this year is $22,500. And if you're over 50, you can put in an extra $7,500. So you'd be able to put in a full $30,000 this year. And it could be that, you know, that's how you all get up to that total of 10 to 15% across both of your incomes, the combination of your contributions to your 401k plus what your husband's putting into the Roth. Keep in mind, you can have a Roth as well, so that would allow you, either put in $13,000 or $15,000, between the two of you into those two Roth IRAs. So hopefully that's helpful for you, Kate. We appreciate you writing to us again at askrob@faithfi.com. One more email, and then after our break, we'll dive into some questions today. Again, lines are open. If you have a question you'd like to get on the air and chat about it today, we'd love to hear from you, hear your story, and how we can help you in your financial life. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Now, Sandra writes to us and says, if I had no earned income, do I need to file my taxes? I've been living off my home equity line of credit. Now, we're going to get back to that in a second. And have interest payments that I can file. So should I file my taxes, yes or no? Well, let's deal with the taxes question first. For the 2022 tax year, you don't need to file a tax return if all of the following are true for you. You're under age 65, you're single, you don't have any special circumstances that require you to file, like self-employment income, and you earn less than $12,950. Now, you mentioned, Sandra, that you want to be able to claim interest payments. You would have to file and itemize in order to be able to take those deductions for the interest payments you made, but they would have to exceed that standard deduction of $12,950. And since it's unlikely you paid that much, you would likely not have to file. Always good, though, to check with a CPA just to ensure that there's nothing unusual about your situation. Now, let's get back to that other question that was kind of embedded in there, Sandra, which is the fact that you were living off of that home equity line of credit. Hopefully, this is just a temporary disruption in income or work. Obviously, you can't continue to do that. The interest will keep rising with inflation. Eventually, you'll fully tap out that line of credit. You won't have any income to make those interest-only payments. And so we need to solve for your income through work. So hopefully we can curb this, if you haven't already, immediately, and get to a place where you can rely on income moving forward. But Sandra, thank you for writing to us again. If you have a question you'd like read on the air, feel free to send it along to askrob@faithfi.com. All right, in just a moment, we're going to be heading to our first break, but we'd love to hear from you today as we take your calls and questions on anything financial. We want to apply the wisdom from God's Word, God's heart that we see in the Bible related to His money and our role as stewards, to the practical decisions and choices we're making every day with His money. So let's talk about it today. 800-525-7000. We've got some lines open, and perhaps one just for your question. Again, 800-525-7000. Stay with us. Much more to come on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio just after this. Don't go anywhere.
Forget about Facebook.
The last 10 days we've been banned twice, and is unbanning a word?
They put us under the ban. Christians and conservatives
don't need you, YouTube.
Banned one day, banned again.
AFR programs are now live streaming on the AFA streaming app. Now you can get shows like Today's Issues straight from the source.
Put back on the next.
Just say unbanned.
Unbanned.
Just search AFA streaming or visit streaming.afa.net to sign up.
We are grateful for support from LitePoint Portfolios, which seeks out family and faith-friendly investments for 401k and 403b plans, integrating faith values and fiduciary duty. LitePoint Portfolios offers retirement plans for a variety of organizations, such as businesses, nonprofits, and churches, and we're grateful for their sponsorship of the Faith and Finance program. More information is available at LitePointPortfolios.com.
So they asked me to enter my email address, and the next thing I know, I start getting emails from companies I never even knew existed. What's up with that?
Here at the American Family Association, you have our word that we won't give away, sell, or lease your email address to any other organization or company. We're thankful when you take the time to subscribe to AFA Action Alerts, 1 Million Moms, Engage Magazine, or any of our other online newsletters.
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience. And she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
Abraham Hamilton III, host of The Hamilton Corner.
American Family Association is on the front lines in the culture war in America. We've been here for more than 40 years fighting for the biblical principles our nation was founded upon. And by God's grace, we are making a difference.
Contact the AFA Foundation today to learn how you can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting American Family Association. Phone 800-326-4543, extension 345.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Phone lines are open, 800-525-7000, as we talk about how you can move forward in your financial life and apply God's wisdom to the decisions and choices you're making. You know, a lot of the questions we get here on this program have to do with retirement. And, you know, as believers, we want to find God's heart as it relates to our work throughout the whole of our lives. Now, keep in mind, we were created to be workers before the fall. Remember, Adam had a job and he was to tend to the garden, name the animals along with Eve. And, you know, we see that we were created to be productive, to take Creator God's creation and to divide it and order it and improve it. And that's part of our productive work that we do for the glory of God. And we don't see any pattern in Scripture that says there's a point at which we're no longer useful and we should cease all productive activity. We should be seeking God's calling on our life throughout our lives. The only example we see of the idea of retirement had to do with the Levitical priests, but it was a different context. So I think we need to not take our cues from this world when it comes to retirement and really pursue a biblical model. Now, we should be saving for that point where we can no longer work for pay. There may be a variety of reasons. Either the Lord redirects us to something that doesn't involve pay, or we can't work any longer. And so we need to provide for ourselves and our loved ones by saving for the future. But that doesn't mean we ought to approach necessarily the concept of retirement entirely like the world does. I like the idea of retiring to something, not from something, and really thinking about what God has for us. The challenge is that there's a whole host of myths with regard to this idea of retirement. So let me just touch on a few of those before we dive into your questions today. Again, the lines are open. We've got a few available, 800-525-7000. Do you have a question or a comment on any financial topic today? So let's apply biblical truth to our idea of retirement, and starting with these idea of retirement myths. First, as you can see, retirement isn't a biblical concept, as I just spoke to. You know, we change our assignments as we age and our circumstances change. However, we have to plan carefully for that season of life. Retirement isn't all about you. As believers, it's never all about us. Life, including how we live after we retire, is all about Christ and our relationship with Him. You know, a third misunderstanding here about retirement is that you have to accumulate as big a nest egg as possible. In fact, what's more important is to decide how much is enough and save for that, no more, which, here's the reality, once you define enough and set that financial finish line, it actually allows you to accelerate your charitable giving. And I'm not talking about, you know, down the road at death through your will and estate planning, although we should be thinking about that, but we can do more giving, even balance sheet giving now during our working life once we've worked through that financial finish line exercise, and that's important to do. Another retirement myth says that retirement planning planning is only for rich people. In fact, everyone should plan for the future. Psalm 90, verse 12. This is a psalm written by Moses, one of the few. Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Well, wisdom includes prudent planning and saving so that we are out of debt and free to serve the Lord as He calls us in our later years. By the way, that idea of being out of debt when it comes to the retirement years, I think is so critical. You know, a lot of folks ask us, how should I be thinking about paying down debt? Should I go ahead and get out of debt, including my house, or would it be better to put that money to work? And I would say, let's balance the two. And if you have the ability, we certainly want to be diligent savers, taking advantage of compounding, especially during our working years over a long time. But I think the idea of planning to be completely out of debt, including your home, by the time you retire is a very worthwhile goal. The reality is that would take the largest expenses you have, namely your mortgage, and get them out of the equation so that your monthly need is much lower. So let's plan for the future, and that's something everyone needs to do. Another myth is that you'll necessarily be in a lower tax bracket once you retire. Now, while that may be true for some as work income decreases, your retirement investment earnings could keep you in a higher tax bracket. And here's one of the keys you need to consider. The Tax Cuts and Jobs Act expires in 2025, and a lot of experts believe that that means tax hikes for everyone in 2026, unless we see legislation to the contrary. So if that's the case, we could be in really a lower tax bracket now and through 2025 than we're going to see for quite some time, which means that even though your income is down in retirement, could mean with the marginal tax rates up that you won't necessarily be paying less in tax. We'll have to keep an eye on that one for sure. And then a final retirement myth is that you can determine your future. Well, you can make plans, but be careful not to presume, which means to say, I'll retire at such and such a date with this much money and my spouse and I will move here or do this or that. James 4:14 warns about this. You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. Instead, you ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. So retirement may not be a big topic in the Bible, but we can still plan wisely for our later years. So whether you're getting ready to retire or still working and raising a family, you can make your plans. I would just remember that God is the creator, owner, and provider of all the resources we have in Christ. We can live abundantly when we submit everything to His use and for His glory. So we need to go back to God's Word and really allow a biblical model of everything, including this idea of retirement, to be at the forefront of our minds. And keep in mind, the Bible is the very best textbook going for every area of life, and that includes this area of finances. You might be surprised to know that there's 2,350 verses that deal with money and possessions. Why is that? Is it because God wants our money? No, it's all His. Is it because He wants us to enrich ourselves? No, it's because He knows that one of the key ways He shapes our spiritual journey is through our finances as we work out those daily decisions. Well, I hope as you renew your mind in God's Word, you'll find God's heart as it relates to your money. All right, just around the corner, we want to hear from you with your calls and questions today. The number, 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance. We'll be back with much more just around the corner. Stay with us.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Is something missing in your spiritual life since you stopped going to church? Jesus never intended for us to live the Christian life alone. He wants us to be a part of a spiritual family of believers. Maybe you stopped going to church because you got hurt or disillusioned. Maybe you got offended or busy, or maybe sin got a foothold in your life. Perhaps COVID made you stop. Whatever the reason, isn't it time you started going again? I'm Pastor John Miller. Visit me at churchontherock.org.
Are you struggling to fit your faith into your practice as a Christian financial advisor? The Certified Kingdom Advisor designation teaches you a step-by-step process to confidently deliver advice that aligns with Christian values. Discover the skills you need to help your clients make a kingdom impact. Get started today by enrolling in the CKA educational program at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified. That's kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
At Faith and Finance, we're on a mission to educate, equip, and connect you and many others with the powerful financial answers found in God's Word. We're working to meet people right where they are through national radio programs, our app, website, and other resources. If you've benefited from this program, would you consider becoming a monthly Faith and Finance patron? Check out all of the benefits of a Faith and Finance patron's membership at faithfi.com and click Give on the homepage.
What does the American Family Association stand for?
We believe true morality flows from biblical principles and directs people to the manner in which God intends them to live.
These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us as we seek to stop the erosion of godly values.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here at American Family Radio. Hey, beginning this month, February, we're introducing a new resource to help you on the earning portion of the financial equation. The Business God's Way book will improve your business and your finances, written by our good friend Howard Dayton. You'll learn what God says about operating a business and handling money. It's a helpful guide for everyone in business, whether you're a CEO, a manager of a department, a small business, or large, prosperous, or struggling, whether it's a startup or even well-established. Make sure you check this out. You can request a copy of Business God's Way for your gift of any amount to FaithFi. Just simply go to faithfi.com and click Give to learn more. That's FaithFi, faithfi.com, and click the word Give, and you'll learn more about this great resource. Howard is a regular contributor. He's a former host of this broadcast and has a lot to say on this topic that he and his friend the late Larry Burkett have written about for years and years. So we'd love for you to check it out. Again, faithfi.com, just click Give, and thanks in advance for your generosity. By the way, be sure you sign up while you're there for our weekly wisdom email. It goes out today to more than 50,000 people. It's free, and it'll encourage you in your stewardship journey. All right, it's time to dive into your questions today. We've got a few lines open, 800-525-7000. Let's begin in Arkansas. Hi, Kay. How can we help you?
Hey, through some previous illnesses, previous multiple surgeries, my husband and I got behind on taxes. So yeah, we've been able to go to a CPA, get all those filed. So now we're down to the nitty-gritty where we need to go ahead and either negotiate a bulk price and maybe they'll deal with us, mm-hmm, or we're not exactly sure what to do. I've gone ahead and filled out all the forms for the state for some kind of a forgiveness hardship type deal. Mm-hmm. But these companies that advertise that are supposed to help you negotiate, are they legit, and is that even worth it? Can we do it ourselves?
You can do it yourself, although I would have the counsel of a CPA or an enrolled agent, and I would love for you, Kay, to have somebody who specializes in what are called offers in compromise. So an IRS offer in compromise allows you to settle your debt for less than the full amount you owe, and it can be a legitimate option if you either can't pay your full liability or doing so creates a financial hardship. So what they look at is your ability to pay, your income, your expenses, your asset equity, and then they generally approve it when the amount you offer represents the most they can expect to collect within a reasonable period of time. And then you could either get on a payment plan or do a lump sum settlement. But having somebody who understands that, work with you and represent you, I think is great. But it doesn't need to be a company, so to speak, that does this. I would just have a tax professional similar to somebody who'd be filing your taxes, but this person would actually help you navigate that process. And it's going to involve a written statement explaining why the debt or a portion of the debt, is going to create a hardship. Is that the process you've been down, do you think, to this point, or was it something else?
Well, we have called one of those companies, but part of what they were telling us that I wasn't comfortable with was a temporary power of attorney, and that made me nervous. And yeah. I did look at the offer and compromise on the IRS website, but now the last few years have been pretty good for us, and we live, very meekly. We save, so we actually have a savings that we've been saving for this. But I'm afraid if they show the savings, that they're going to say, oh, well, you can pay the whole thing, which I don't think we have enough saved for that, but we could possibly do, a compromise settlement.
Yes. Yeah. I think that's right. And, that would allow you to get on a payment plan and even perhaps have the total amount that's paid back, assuming this, makes sense with your current assets and income and so forth, be less than what you owe. At the very least, you could get an installment agreement in place that allows you to pay it back over time so you don't deplete all of your liquid capital right now. But I think really the important thing is for you to have somebody who's walking alongside you. And I'd rather that either be a tax attorney or a CPA who has some experience in this, as opposed to you, turning this over to a quote unquote, tax settlement company where you're going to give them a power of attorney, that kind of thing. That may be necessary, but I'd want it to be a trusted professional. So if you don't have somebody, Kay, that can help you navigate this, I'd reach out to a certified Kingdom advisor in your area and ask for a referral to a godly CPA or enrolled agent or tax attorney who can help you navigate this, somebody who could represent you, who has experience in this, but who's got some reputation that's trusted, just so you know who you're working with.
Okay, and I have gone ahead and the state was a real simple form. It was just a one sheet form. You just explained what had happened through the years and.
Yeah.
I kind of think that they're going to deal with this, but I know the IRS is going to be much more complicated.
Yeah, well, you might be surprised. I mean, there's a similar form that you'll fill out with the IRS, but I think, having somebody that can represent you who's been down this road just makes a lot of sense. But you could just go to the IRS's website. For instance, they have an offer and compromise booklet, a PDF that you could download that will explain all of this. But I do think it's worth it to have some wise counsel, somebody helping you navigate the process and can really be that representation for you. My experience is that's more effective when it comes to both settlements as well as getting an installment plan in place. So again, if you don't have somebody, I'd just check with a certified Kingdom advisor in your area, faithfi.com. Just click find a CKA. Okay, keep us posted. Thanks for checking in with us today. 800-525-7000. We've got some lines open today to Kurt in Louisiana. Go ahead, sir.
Hi, how are you doing today?
I'm great. Thank you for calling.
I've got a problem. God has blessed me with so much stuff. I've got like 800,000 in CDs. I've got 500K in stocks. And I've got several homes in several different states. but I want to be a wise steward what he has given me, and I'm just struggling on what to do.
Yeah. Well, it's a good problem to have, and yet we realize that it can be a challenge. I mean, the Bible is clear that it's not easy to handle material blessing, and I'm delighted to hear you asking this question because it sounds like you recognize that. You certainly don't want to be in a position where we're just building bigger barns, and I think that's perhaps what the stirring that you're experiencing is. I want to be faithful with this, and God's given me an abundance. And, you know, Paul says, remember, you've got to learn to be content whether you're in plenty or in need. And so I think the key for you right now is to do some planning and have a godly advisor, wise counsel walking alongside you to define enough, Kurt, both for your lifestyle, how much am I going to spend on a monthly basis? What's the cap for that? And your accumulation, what's the cap on your accumulation? And what you will do in that process in defining enough in that financial finish line is actually be freed up to do a lot more giving. Because you might say, listen, I've already, you know, reached that accumulation point. I have enough. And when I define that finish line, now I can say, okay, how can I be a wise giver? I don't have any debt. I don't want to increase my lifestyle. I don't need to save anymore. So the only bucket left is the give bucket. Let's do this. I've got to take a quick break, but if you can hold, I want to talk about what that might look like in the next segment. 800-525-7000, back with Kurt and your question after this. Stay with us.
Today's culture is opting for entertainment rather than biblical enlightenment. For those who resist that trend, Friends of Israel shows listeners why loving the Jewish people and supporting Israel is important to the Christian faith. Friends of Israel shares biblical truth about Israel and the Messiah and promotes solidarity with the Jewish people.
This is Chris Katulka of the Friends of Israel Today radio program, heard each weekend on this station, and here's what's happening in Israel.
Friends of Israel, Saturday afternoon at 2, here on American Family Radio.
Weekday mornings at 8 Central, Pastor Jeff Shreve offers real truth for today.
I'm the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries.
The world around us is rapidly changing, but God and His truth will never change.
I may be the host of the show, but I want God's Word and His truth to be the star of the show.
Join Pastor Jeff Shreve each weekday morning at 8 Central for Real Truth for Today on American Family Radio.
45,000. That's how many times Faith and Finance referred a listener to a certified Kingdom advisor last year. And for good reason. These are trusted financial, legal, and accounting professionals who have completed a rigorous certification program to ensure biblically wise financial advice as part of their practice. You can find a local CKA professional in your area by going to faithfi.com and clicking on the Find a CKA button on the homepage.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. Here's the website, chministries.org.
chministries.org.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio in our last segment. If you have a question, we'd love to get to it. 800-525-7000. Give us a call. Before the break, we were talking with Kurt. Kurt has been blessed with an abundance. He's got roughly $1.3 million between CDs and stocks. He's got a couple of homes, and he's recognizing God has been incredibly generous to him, and he just wants to be found faithful as a steward. I think one approach, as I mentioned, Kurt, is to really do some planning to say how much is enough so you can accelerate your giving, depending on not your resources, but ultimately God as your provider. And one way to approach that is to say, okay, how much do I need to live on for the rest of my life, to the best of my ability? Again, not saying that I'm dependent to provide for myself through these assets. God is ultimately your provider. But what is responsible in terms of the amount I need to accumulate? And how do I convert that to an income stream that's going to take care of me for the rest of my life? And what is that finish line amount in order to do that, so that between Social Security and whatever other retirement sources you have, plus your accumulations of these both real estate and stock and CD portfolios, what really is going to be necessary in order to generate that income that you need to maintain the lifestyle that you believe God has called you to? Have you gone through that type of exercise with a professional?
No, I have not.
Okay. Would you be open to that?
Yes.
Yeah. I think that might be a great next step for you. And, you know, I think somebody who understands the counsel of Scripture and this idea that we want to live in this tension of we want to trust God as our provider. Yes, we want to accumulate so we've got enough that, you know, we can live off of so we can pursue God's calling, but also that we want to be, you know, willing to listen to the Holy Spirit in terms of responding to giving opportunities. And that could be through asset giving, which is, you know, by far the more tax efficient. You know, for instance, if you were to decide, hey, one of these homes, I don't really need that money, I could actually give it away. Well, prior to selling it, you could put it into a donor advised fund. So you would eliminate all the capital gains, and then all the proceeds of the sale go into your donor advised fund. And now you could just have a great time giving that money away for God's purposes and save some taxes in the process. That's the kind of thing that I think a godly professional could help you really navigate as you think through this. So what you'd want to do, Kurt, is just head to our website at faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com. Click find a CKA and connect with a professional there. Maybe interview two or three and find the ones that's the best fit. But tell me, kind of given what I've said there, what are your thoughts on kind of where you'd like to go from here?
Well, this is what I'm struggling with. I just realized that everything belongs to God, and I'm just struggling on what to do. So I'll try to get on your site and try to get some more advice.
Yeah. Are you in retirement right now?
I'm 65, yes, collecting Social Security.
Okay. And are you drawing an income from any of these, from the stocks or, you know, the CD accounts as they mature?
I've got a beneficial retirement account that it's mandatory to pull so much out.
Yeah. Okay.
And that's only a couple thousand a year.
Yeah, and you really don't even need that money because your Social Security is enough for you to live on?
Well, yeah, I'm pretty frugal, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I think you're in a position here right now where, you know, if you were to really look at it, and this will come out in the planning process, you might be able to say, listen, I've already accumulated more than I need. And so then the question is, what do I do with it? And I think perhaps working through a process, you know, of discovering what are my passions. And, you know, if God has blessed me to be a blessing, then what areas are on his heart that align with what he's hardwired into me in terms of my passions, so that I could begin to really do some hilarious giving like we see in Scripture, you know, whether it's the ministry of God's word or the ministry of God's mercy, you know, in the poor and needy. Maybe it's the ministry of God's justice and helping, you know, folks who are in, you know, human trafficking. I mean, you know, beginning to look at the things in Scripture that are on the heart of God and then seeing which ones make you come alive, and then aligning this abundance that God has given you with your passions and the things that we see clearly in Scripture of ministries and, you know, that are doing great work in the name of Jesus. I mean, you could have a blast in this next season of life just really funding some great kingdom work. How has that thought, you know, fit into this for you?
No, it sounds good. I just wish God would give me a blueprint.
Yeah, well, there actually is one. So I don't know if you've ever heard of the organization called the National Christian Foundation. They're a wonderful ministry. It was actually founded by, I don't know if you know the name Larry Burkett, but the late Larry Burkett, Ron Blue, and an attorney named Terry Parker came together to found the National Christian Foundation. And literally billions of dollars every year flow through NCF to, you know, 40 plus thousand ministries across the world. But the team at NCF is really skilled at not only complex gift planning. So how do you give away a business effectively or a piece of real estate or, you know, things like that, but also at helping you come up with what they call a giving strategy, which is actually a process that you work through to say, again, some of the things I mentioned earlier, how do the things that are on the heart of God align with my passions? And what does it look like to build a giving plan for me so that I'm not just giving haphazardly, but I have some intentionality behind the giving that I'm going to do? Well, that's what NCF could help you do. There's not any cost to it. They just want to help serve givers, and that's really their ministry. So I think that could be a real blessing to you. If you head to ncfgiving.com and connect with them there and just say, I've heard about your giving strategy and I want to learn more because I have an abundance. And then secondly, perhaps connecting with a certified Kingdom advisor as well to do some planning, I think would make a lot of sense. So I think those are perhaps your two next steps as you tackle this, Kurt, okay?
Thank you so much.
All right. Hey, God bless you, my friend. Keep us posted. You know, there's probably some folks listening saying, how hard can it be? I mean, is this really a problem? You've got too much money. And yet it is. It's a burden, just like it can be a challenge to be without. And obviously, we all want to be found faithful wherever God has us today and in responding according to his wisdom that we find in the Bible. So we'll certainly pray that the Lord gives Kurt some wisdom here and how he navigates this. All right, we've got just a few minutes left, perhaps time for one more question at 800-525-7000. You know, we heard from Abigail and she wrote about something similar. And folks, when you hear this, I don't want you to think, gosh, everybody who listens to this program, you know, is just, you know, has billions or tens of millions of dollars, because that's just not the case. There's plenty of folks that are listening who are saying, listen, I'm struggling right now. I mean, I don't have enough to make ends meet. I've got more month than money at the end of the road. But so we've got folks really up and down the spectrum. And I think the idea is to say, what does faithfulness look like for me? Whether God has decided to give me an abundance or money is scarce right now, how can I make the next best step? Because ultimately, stewardship is about faithfulness to opportunity. How can I be faithful with whatever God has entrusted to me today? Well, Abigail asked that same question. You know, she says, listen, we've got $2.3 million, and I'm afraid to spend it. I need, my kids could use some money. Our house needs to be repaired. How do I know whether it's wise enough to spend it? And I think, again, it comes back to this question of how much is enough, Abigail. You know, we've got to define how much you need to sustain you for the rest of your life. And what you may find is that the income being thrown off by that $2.3 million, even at a 4% withdrawal rate, is, you know, far more than you need. I mean, you could safely withdraw $90,000 a year without endangering the principal if it's invested properly. And so you may say, well, I just, between that and Social Security, we don't need an extra $90,000. Well, that's great, because now we've defined enough and we know that we can begin giving it away. You could absolutely take $50,000 to repair your roof and begin, you know, giving some money to the kids if that's the way the Lord leads. And ultimately, remember, our trust isn't in our things. It's in the Lord himself. Quickly to Alabama. Hi, Gwen. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Yes, I'm trying to find out if you resign, or will it be best to be able to just take your money out or leave it in, roll it over at the age of 50. So,
yeah, you have a 401k and you're wondering about what to do with it. Is that right?
Well, just your whole, it's part of the retirement also.
Okay. What type of retirement account is it, Gwen?
It's a RSA.
Okay. Yeah, typically what you would want to do is roll it to an IRA, an individual retirement account. That's going to give you more flexibility in terms of how it's managed. It's going to keep it in a tax-deferred environment, so it's not a taxable event. And then what you'd want to do is decide either you're going to manage it yourself or hire someone. And if you would like to hire somebody, you'd check with a certified Kingdom advisor at our website, faithfi.com. Click Find a CKA. Is that what you were looking for?
What if you just want to, you know, you need to pull it out to pay off a credit card?
Yeah, you certainly could. I'd just be careful there. I'd check with my friends at ChristianCreditCounselors.org because that's going to be a taxable event. And I'd want to make sure that before you do that and pull retirement savings that you could really need down the road, that you've solved the underlying problem, Gwen, that got you into the credit card debt in the first place. Because I wouldn't want you to pull out of the retirement account, pay off the credit cards, but you're still spending beyond your means. And then you call me 6 months and say the credit cards are back. So call my friends at ChristianCreditCounselors.org first and check with them. Thanks for being on the program today. That's going to do it for us today. So thankful for my team. On behalf of Pat Montague, Devin Patrick, and Robert Sutherland, I'm Rob West. It's such a joy to be with you each day to explore the scriptures here on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Have a great rest of your Thursday, and we'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.